Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Kovlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is May 8th, 2020, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I think I hear Stella playing the piano, Craig. Do you hear that?
Hey, all right. I'm hearing the tune-up going on back there. What is that sound? What is that song she's playing?
You know, listen.
I'm listening.
Dun, dun, dun. Da, da. Man, that's Lean On Me by Bill Withers.
Ah, wow. You know, that's a great tribute, you know?
It is. It is absolutely a great tribute. Look at her. Man, she's
that is
really good.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it. I love the fact that she's decided to learn an instrument during the shelter in place. I think that's fantastic.
And really good song. I think during this COVID situation... nothing better than the song Lean On Me, and as we all lean on each other. Me. Pretty cool. And you know what else, Craig?
Yeah.
You know what else, Craig?
What's that, man?
She turned 10 yesterday.
Whoa, double digits.
I know.
Uh-oh, watch out, Mike. Next thing you know, she's going to be 14. Next thing you know, boys are coming to the door.
Speaking of our Hot Commodity Podcast Series, everybody, those that don't know, that's Craig Ruffalo, who's giving me a hard time, Vice President McKinney Flavelle.
Right.
And
hey, happy Friday, everybody out there.
Happy Friday.
And happy pre-Mother's Day weekend.
There you go.
Come on now. This Sunday, we got to celebrate your moms out there.
Absolutely.
They do a lot for all of us. Talk about people that you lean on.
Absolutely. Yes. And so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there and fathers out there. You know, you better get prepared and do something nice. And hopefully it'll be a nice day for everybody out there. But
we're going to do a family scavenger hunt.
Ooh, cool.
We're going to set clues around the house and the outside for Stacia to go and look for her presence.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's something we're going to do.
Excellent. Well, Craig, today I thought we would talk pre-WASD. The WASD comes out next Tuesday.
Right.
And I think what we should do is, you know, Nicole did a great job recapping the WASD report this last month on corn specifically. And I thought you should touch base on a little bit of corn expectation and what potentially factors we might be needing to pay attention to as we look at these corn futures, and are they going to plant 97? Oh, is it going to be 96?
I know.
You know, so there's a.
Ooh.
And she talked a lot about ethanol and the reduction in ethanol.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's very important on the May WASD report is what, Craig? What do they do? What's different?
It's the initial forecasted new crop S&D table. It's exciting stuff out there, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the planting season, and now we're going to start talking about new crop production. And it is unbelievable. I'm telling you, there's a lot of speculation going on about what the USDA, it's kind of like Christmas Eve.
Yes.
What are they going to do? What's the presents going to be when you open them up? Did you get the new shiny bike?
Yes. Well,
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Stella got a new shiny bike yesterday, but
see, there you go.
Are listeners out there going to get a Schwinn bike next Tuesday for the
right.
WASD or not?
Stingray.
A Stingray.
That's right, a Stingray. You know, Mike, I it'll be very interesting to watch how USDA, if they're going to slow play the end result of this crop on mostly of obviously on demand, and how that's going to roll into the total supply for the new crop 2020-21. So let's take a quick look at what I think might happen come Tuesday as far as the current crop. And I think what most people are going to anticipate is some further reduction in ethanol demand, could be upwards of 350, 375 million bushels. So if you do that, you're going to increase the carry out by that same amount. You could be looking at around 2.4 to 2.5 billion bushel carry out, which
Wow.
would be an amazing 19% stocks to use ratio roughly for the current year.
Okay.
That's not even talking about what we're going to be looking at as far as supply going into the next year. Now, the coming crop, the anticipation is, do we actually get 97 million acres planted? We're 51% through the acreage base on planted acres already. Now, there's going to be a cold front coming through. Does that impact any of the decisions on farmers? Who knows? I think most of us out there would want to discount that 97 million. Maybe it's 95 million. Maybe it's 94.5 million. Irregardless, you're talking about pretty much record acreage.
Yep. Okay.
And then if you take, you know, 91% of that, 86 million on 94.5, a normal yield, which is where I'm using 176 bushels an acre, which is about a bushel and a half under the industry average. You're talking about a record 15.1 billion bushel crop.
Wow, wow, wow.
You're adding maybe 300 million bushels to the carryout, and you're going to look at a record crop. You're going to start to really build up a large supply, which is, I think, what the anticipation has been with these lower futures prices. The real challenge, I think, before everyone is, where is demand actually going to land for the next crop year? And, you know, Mike, we've seen some of these meat packing plants have this COVID epidemic hit them hard.
Yep.
They're trying to maintain some supply base. But I think you've seen farmers specifically in the hog industry start to euthanize some of their herds. So the livestock industry might come down slightly because they've had some fairly high prices for feed in the form of DDG that they normally use for the dairy cattle. As well as you might have seen some of the other feed components like soybean meal be fairly expensive up until recent times. So they probably are sitting there saying, well, maybe I don't want to feed these animals. I'll just go ahead and liquidate my herd a little bit. Challenges, are they going to get it to slaughter or not? Overall, what I'm saying, I'm still a little bit bearish on feed demand. I'm thinking that we might see about 5.6 billion bushels going into feed demand. That's roughly about 75 million below April number for the current crop. So you're talking about potential lowering of feed demand for the new crop. On food, seed, and industrial, the ethanol component of it, right now, it's our anticipation that we'll see a further reduction in that space for the new for the current crop. I'll use about a 5 billion bushel estimate for ethanol. That's about 200 million above where I think this year went.
Okay.
Bottom line, Mike, we could be looking at a carryout of almost 4 billion bushels.
Wow.
By the end of September next year. That would put a stocks to use ratio just under 30%. That is hugely detriment to futures prices.
Sure.
So I'm just saying that, look, right now there's a whole lot of if, buts, and maybes going on within those kinds of estimates. But if you're trying to look at a scenario that's bearish to price, I think the majority of the industry is kind of leaning in that direction. Sure. If you're trying to say, where do you pull the carpet out from under this and maybe go bullish, you've got to really reduce acres, maybe down to 90 million. That could be anywhere from a 5 to 7 million reduction in acreage, which I don't think will happen.
Sure.
You'll have to have some kind of yield degradation. And right now, being this far ahead in plantings, I don't see that happening.
Wow. Wow. Well, holy corn.
Yeah. You know what? We are talking about just bin busting amounts of corn. And you're going to need maybe two crops of extremely aggressive sales to get through that kind of inventory, Mike. Because normally we're carrying out about 2 billion bushels, maybe 2.3 billion bushels. If you're upwards of near four,
wow,
there's no way you're going to be looking at this as a bullish to price type of marketplace, which will spill into other grain market like soy and wheat and others because they all somewhat compete for the feed component. You hope that if you do get these kinds of prices, that it will encourage demand and demand will start to rally quickly, export demand specifically.
Okay. Anything else on corn before we shift over to sugar?
No, let's move on.
Let's move over to sugar. What do you think? Kevin talked a little bit about Mexico and a little bit of increase from Florida. What do you expect going into this WASDE report for sugar?
I think it's all, in this case, about the beet sugar industry, and they're getting their crop planted. You know, about 60% of all beet sugar acres is right up there in the Red River Valley, and they've been a little wet, and they've been a little bit behind their normal pace of plantings. However, Mike, traditionally, they get that crop in. If they get it in within the first 2.5 weeks of May, they're right on pace to have normal production, which means that the promises that have been made about September production will come to fruition most likely. If they have to delay that much beyond the next week or two, you might threaten the September production out of the Red River Valley, which could really tighten up the month of September as far as availability of sugar.
Yep.
So as far as the S&Ds go, the main thing that I'm staring at is, what are we going to do with the beet sugar crop? Are we going to rebound that production number? Hopefully, knock on wood, that we do. We get that crop in the ground and we see upwards of a 700,000 ton increase in crop size year over year, from 4.3 to 5.0 as a baseline. That'd probably be a pretty good accurate number. USDA may come out and be a little conservative, maybe 150,000 tons below that. The other one that you got to look at is the demand side.
Mm-hmm.
I think to this point in time, they've been conservative about lowering demand expectations. I think they're going to get some feedback now that demand probably in this crop year has got to be adjusted downward anywhere from 50 to 150,000 tons, which then rolls into the demand expectations for the forward year. And maybe they'll adjust that to a zero growth based on a reduction in the current crop. So bottom line, they're going to have to get that stocks to use ratio. Could be for the new crop, slightly over 14%. And if that's the case, then, you know, at least it'll give the industry an indication that they're attempting to adjust for the supply tightness that we're having now.
Got it. Okay. Anything else on sugar or corn before we let all the fathers out there run and get Mother's Day gifts?
That's right. They got to go out and get their flowers. Make sure you social distance. They have to put those bouquets on the shelf next to you, and then you grab it and you go pay, and then you get out. Don't stick around. Don't go running around the nurseries. Not a good idea yet. Yeah. But yeah, I think we've wrapped it up here. Everybody out there, just anticipate that the USDA will probably throw a curveball at this whole thing after we've talked about it. But generally, the speaking of is that it's going to be a bearish to price kind of scenario.
Got it. And listeners out there, be sure to watch your inbox if you're an IQ subscriber for Tuesday when the WASD comes out, because we immediately put on the platform an alert with exactly what the adjustments they made. And shortly after that, we do our in-depth analysis. And Craig, I don't know, I check in that IQ platform daily, and there's all kinds of updates on livestock, co-product values,
net corn costs.
And you know what we even do for our premium subscribers? We do forecasts at the last week, and the last week of May will be our next set of forecasts on the different commodities. So, and I heard,
that's right,
I don't know if it's my own stats, but I heard we're pretty dang accurate on those. And so if you're not a subscriber, I don't know.
We are pretty dang accurate. I would agree with that.
I didn't even use a statistic there, but if you're not a subscriber, please reach out to us, McKinney-Favel.com. And, you know, we do webinars too, Craig. And
we do.
And those are uploaded on the IQ platform. So in case you're busy that day, you miss the webinar. And, you know, it's just awesome. That's all I have to say.
You know, Mike, and you know, the thing is that on the 20th of May, if you can't register for the World Sugar webinar that I'll be hosting, they can always get it the day after and go on to IQ. I think it would be a great one for
The
timing with the changes in crude oil prices going back up to $25, $26 from negative. So it's probably a good time to talk a little bit about the world sugar market. So we're going to do that on the 20th of May. So register for that webinar. But as Mike said, if you can't make it for some odd reason, because maybe you're just not listening to this podcast, you can always check it out post the webinar.
Anytime. Well, everybody, have a great weekend. Live with an attitude of gratitude and enjoy every minute with your friends and your family. And until next week, take care, everybody.
Have a great weekend and happy Mother's Day.
Bye now.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney-Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.